We're looking at the series But God, When God Butts In, and we've looked so far that everything to the left of But God has been difficult, troublesome, trying, has been a hardship, something to overcome, something that's going, that is not going right. And then everything to the right of But God, we see that something changes. We've looked at being dead in sins, but God. We've looked at being deceived, but God. We've looked at being betrayed, but God. We've looked at being trapped, but God. Being undeserving, but God. Being unlovable, but God. And tonight, we're going to look at being pursued, but God. How many of you have ever been chased? Anybody ever been chased? Now, I got to be careful, see, because you can form a bad opinion of me. I do this thing at home. I've always done it to Joe and to both girls. As soon as they start heading up the stairs, I chase them. If I'm sat down, I'd be reading a book or something, I'd be sat in this, and they'll blissfully go off and start up the stairs, and then I'll just run out of the living room and start chasing up the stairs and bang the bottom of the stairs, and it frightens the life out of them. Now, that's not very good when your wife has got a degenerative disc disease and can only just about make it up the stairs anyway, but it's still funny for me. Hannah came home Christmas time, or last year, just after Christmas, and she hadn't been home for ages, and the first day she was in the house, she started to go up the stairs, and I chased her. It's just what you do. Now, for the pursuer, it's quite fun. It tickles me, it makes me laugh, because there's a little bit of fear in them. But for the one being pursued, it's not so much fun. Have any of you, though, been really chased? Anybody? I mean, we've got a few older ones who may remember, like the Mods and the Rockers, and, you know, growing up in the Rondas never always been an easy task. I remember going to a youth club in Pontyclun, and everything was going swimmingly. We spent the night in the youth club, and then all of a sudden, somebody said, oh, where are you? I was there with Richard Bradbury, I remember it like it was yesterday. Where are you boys from? They're not from Llandudwardra. I didn't know that people in Pontyclun didn't like people from Llandudwardra. I had no idea. I was blissfully unaware until this crowd started gathering outside the youth centre. And there were about 30 or 40 youths gathered outside this youth centre, ready to attack me and Richard Bradbury. So we run. No mobile phones, you can't phone anybody, you can't phone mom or dad for a lift, you know, we didn't have time, just hang on, stop chasing us, we want to make a phone call in the phone box. And we ran from Pontyclun. I remember literally not taking a breath until we got to Leeks, absolutely petrified. And it was really frightening, because you were like, oh my days, what's going to happen? And you just didn't want to look back, because if you turned around and there's this crowd behind you, we were petrified. And then years later, I started working in a restaurant. And I got really friendly with one of the guys who was on the same shift as me. And we were talking one night, and he said, oh, you know, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Llandudwardra. I said, oh, my days, I remember being in a youth club in Pontyclun. I was like, all right. And I was like, oh, no, here we go. I was like, all right. He said, yeah. He said, there was two boys from Llandudwardra being chased. I said, oh, was there? Do you catch them and give them a good kick in? I would have. He said, yeah. He said, all these boys had gathered around because these two boys from Llandudwardra. He said, I managed to get them out through the back door so they could get away. And I was like, that was me. But it's not nice being pursued. I'm still going to chase the girls up the stairs because that's funny. But it's not nice being pursued. And what we need to understand is that as a Christian, there is an enemy that is always in hot pursuit of us. There's an adversary, the devil, a roaring lion walking about this earth seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is always hot on our heels. The enemy is always in pursuit of us. Now, we're going to look at something that happened in David's life in 1 Samuel 23. We're going to look at how David was pursued, but God. And I want us to see today that no matter how hard the enemy chases us down, we are pursued, but God. but God. There is a but God moment in our lives. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 1 says this, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abithar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town and hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the times that we are delivered. We thank you so much for the times where your hand of blessing is upon us, where your hand of protection is upon us. Lord, I'm sure that there have been many instances in our lives where we've not even realized a but God moment. We've not even realized that your hand has delivered us from a difficult situation or a trying or troubling circumstance. Father, there is not a day that goes by that we are not pursued by the enemy. Our enemy is relentless. I'm thankful for the fact that we are pursued every day but God. God won't allow that enemy to catch up to us or overtake us. Because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Father, I'm thankful for the fact that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I prayed you would just speak to our hearts today, whatever people are facing today, whatever difficulties, troubles, trials, whatever it may be. Maybe they feel like they just simply can't outrun the devil anymore. Father, I prayed you would give them that but God moment tonight. We'll be mindful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There have been more times than we care to remember as Christians when the enemy has been in hot pursuit of our lives. He lives to bring hardship. He lives to bring difficulty. He lives to bring pain into our lives. And sometimes the pursuit seems never ending. Have you ever had a dream where you're running away from somebody, and then all of a sudden you're going through treacle or quicksand, or you know, your legs go stiff and tight, and you just they feel like lead, and you can't get away from the enemy? You ever had that type of dream? That type of dream means that you're tight, apparently, according to psychologists. But that's a horrible dream, and then sometimes you wake up in a sweat because you just couldn't get away from whoever it was that was chasing you. And sometimes we feel like that as Christians. We've been in situations in our Christian walk where it feels like the devil is just snapping at our heels continually, and we can't shake him off. We can't outrun him. We can't get away from him. And we get tired because of the pursuit. And the Bible is full of examples where the enemy has pursued the people of God. David, we see today, is being pursued by Saul. But God, in a powerful declaration to the faithfulness of God in our lives, that statement, but God. How incredible. We are pursued on a daily basis, but God. But God will deliver us. He's promised to. Why? Because he's already given us the victory. People need to hear that from us. Because we ought to be different from the world. When people say, how are things going? Do you know what? Things are really tough. Things are really difficult. I'm struggling a little bit, but God. Yeah, I'm finding things a bit tricky at the moment. Circumstances at home are a bit hard, but God. Yeah, I'm really battling a few things in my life at the moment. Work situation's hard. Home life is difficult. Financial difficulties, whatever it may be. But God, what a testimony to the world around us. You know, if we just blend into the background and gripe and moan and complain like everybody else, we're no different to the world. We're no different to anybody else. Everybody does that. Every single one of us in here tonight has something to complain about, has somebody who we could moan about, has something that is going on that we could gripe and moan and complain, but God. We're different. I would much rather go through the problems I face with God on my side than go through life with no problems whatsoever and end up in a Christless hell at the end of it all. David had a dilemma. In the first five verses, we see in verse 1, they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah and they rob the threshing floor. David had a dilemma. Inbuilt in David was the fact that he was a soldier. Inbuilt in David was the fact that he fought against his enemies, the Philistines. So the enemy has come against Keilah. So automatically David is like, I need to go to battle. I need to fight. He's got a dilemma. How many of you have ever come to that point in your lives where you face such a dilemma, you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, you don't know which way to go? You know, oftentimes we make decisions in our lives on the spur of the moment. We say things in the heat of anger. We only ever live to regret them. But many times we face dilemmas in our lives as believers. We have faced more dilemmas than we know what to do with at times. And David faces this dilemma. He wants to go and defeat the Philistines because that's the long-standing enemy of Israel. But if he did, he recognizes the fact that he'll be putting himself in danger. He knows that Saul is after him. He knows that Saul is out to get him. He knows that Saul has been pursuing him. And he knows Saul is just on his heels. So does David go and fight against the Philistines at the risk of being then pursued by Saul? David, in pursuing the enemy, would actually become the pursued himself. And sometimes as Christians, we take a fought mentality. We batten down the hatches. You know, I don't want to step out in faith in case I get hurt. I don't want to do something for the Lord in case it fails. So I'll just stay where I am. I'll batten down the hatches and refuse to move forward for the Lord because I'm afraid of stepping out. I'm afraid of the unknown. I'm afraid of failure. And as soon as we do that, as soon as we batten down the hatches, the enemy's won. He doesn't want us to be effective for the Lord. He doesn't want us to battle for the Lord. He doesn't want us in this race for the Lord. He wants us defeated and depleted and absolutely stopped in our tracks. He wants to immobilize you. He wants you to stay exactly where you are. He doesn't want you to become all that God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to become all that God has saved you to be. He doesn't want you to be all that God desires that you be. He doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. God has a will for our lives. God has a purpose for our lives. So what did David do when he faced this dilemma? You know, when we face a dilemma, we tend to kind of weigh up the pros and the cons and we just think, right, okay, well, if I do this, then this will benefit me in this way. And if I don't do that, I lose out in this way. And then we just go ahead, whichever feels like the right thing to do. You know, oftentimes when people come to me for advice and I say, look, have you prayed about it? Oh, I knew you'd say that. But that's not a cop-out. That's not something pastors say when they're like, oh, no, I don't know what to say. Pray. That's not like a standard answer that we just like rattle off, because that's the first thing you ought to be doing. If you've got a decision to make, if you're praying about it. You know, when you make a decision in the flesh and then you realize that's the wrong decision, we can't blame God for that then and say, oh, I can't believe you got me into this mess, because we're the ones who did that, because we made that decision based on the flesh rather than praying about it. David inquired of the Lord in verse 2, asking, shall I go and smite the Philistines? Is that what you want me to do? David did what every follower of the Lord should do every time we face a dilemma, and that's bring it to the Lord in prayer. Whenever we face a crossroads in our lives, we ought to pray about which direction we should go in. Every time we come to a point where we have to make a decision that is troubling us or worrying us, we ought to pray about it. Seek God's face. God, what is it that you want me to do? Do you want me to go in this direction? Do you want me to go in that direction? Should I take this decision or that decision? Every time we face a dilemma in our lives, we ought to pray. David inquired of the Lord. The word inquire here in the Hebrew means to seek, to ask, to beg, to request, to consult. That wasn't a prayer of desperation. That wasn't a prayer of, oh no, what am I going to do? It was a prayer of, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go forward? It wasn't a prayer of desperation. It wasn't a last resort thing. David had a dilemma. His first port of call was to bring it before the Lord and earnestly seek the face of God. What does God have to say about my circumstances? What does God have to say about this difficulty? What does God have to say about this dilemma? What decision does God want me to make? And the Lord said unto David, here's the thing, God speaks to us today. God's not trying to hide things from us. God hasn't saved us and then said, all right, let's just watch these run around like headless chickens, this'll be fun. That's not how God works. If you come on a Wednesday night, you realize the purpose God has for our lives when we're looking at the will of God in the believer's life. God has a will and a purpose for every single one of us. Now, God hasn't saved us to be robots that we just walk about doing what God commands us to do. But God has a purpose for us. God has a will for us. And it's up to us whether or not we do that. If you want God's will to be done in your lives, you have a choice to make. You can do it or not. It's up to you. But God speaks to us today. He doesn't want to leave us to our own devices. It's not good to leave us to our own devices. God speaks clearly to us through his word. He speaks clearly through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through circumstances. And for those coming on a Wednesday night, recognize that those three things have to line up together when it comes to seeking the will of God. So what was God's will for David? What did God want David to do? He said, go and smite the Philistines. Go down to Keilah. It highlights the importance of prayer. God wants us to seek him. God wants us to inquire of him. God wants us to come before him when we have a dilemma. How many times, let me ask you this question, when you come to a dilemma in your life, how many times do you talk to somebody else about it? How many times do you go over and over and over and over it with somebody else? Is it only going over the same ground? You know, sometimes Joe and I will have conversations and we may as well just hit record and then in a few days' time just press play, because it'll just save us the breath. Because sometimes you have the same conversations over and over and over again. You know, you talk about a situation, you talk about a dilemma that you face. We talk about it all the time. How many times have we wished that our situation was different? How many times have we complained to somebody else about our dilemma? How many times have we been over and over and over it? But I've never brought it before the Lord. We have to get to a point where that changes and we say, right, this is what God says about our dilemma. This is what God says about our situation. This is what God says about my circumstance. It is impossible to navigate the troubled waters of this life without inquiring of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength to do it on our own. We don't have the intellect to do it on our own. We don't even have the common sense to do it on our own. We can't. But God has not saved us to just leave us to our own devices. God has not saved us to just let us go, right, go on, off you go. None of us did that. For those here who've had children, none of us did that when our children were born. You know, I didn't, when Hannah was born in the East Glamorgan, I didn't say to her, right, see you back at the house. You're on your own. You make your own way. God hasn't done that to us. God wants to guide us and direct us, and he will speak to us. David's men were afraid. In verse 3, David said unto him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? They were afraid to go to Keilah. Even after God said, go, they were still fearful. How many times has God answered a prayer? How many times has God said, right, go? And then we say, did you really mean that? God answers a prayer in a particular way, and maybe we don't like the way in which God has answered that prayer. Like, I was kind of hoping it would be a different answer. And sometimes fear stops us in our tracks. David's men were afraid. Fear is crippling, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear cripples us. Fear stops us doing what God has called us to do. And David's men admit this fear in verse 4. So what does David do? David doesn't chastise the men. David doesn't turn around and say, you bunch of wimps, come on. David said, okay, let's make sure we got this right. Let's inquire of the Lord again. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. How gracious God is. You know the amount of times, when I worked for GE, one of my jobs at one time was a technical support engineer, and what I had to do was when the engine was accumulated in the stores and all the parts came out to be ready to build, my responsibility was making sure that engine got assembled and got sent to test in the right amount of time. So the amount of times people come into the office and ask a question, say, right, you know, when does this engine need to be there or what needs to be done? And you'd give them the answer. And then literally within a few hours, the same person would come back in again and say, right, when does this need to be done? And you'd be like, really? I just told you that. Now, obviously, as a technical support engineer, I was very patient. And I was very understanding, and I was very calm, and at the time, I wasn't in church. So I wasn't very pleasant. Like, really? Just answered that question, and you come in and asking again? You know, and I worked for a couple of bosses. Like, I wasn't that bad. But I worked for a couple of bosses where they were even worse than that. I remember when, and some of you from Manisable may know him, the amount of times Lynn Powderill threatened to fire me was unbelievable. If you don't get that done, you're fired. And the first time he said, I was petrified. But the thing is this, you know, when we come in to God again in prayer, I say, Lord, I know you've just answered my prayer, but I need to ask you again. God doesn't say, that's it, I'm done with you, you're fired. He doesn't turn around and say, what, are you serious? I've just answered that prayer. Why can't you get it? Why don't you understand it? Why are you still stood there when I've told you to go? God doesn't work like that. God is gracious. David comes to the Lord again. David inquires of the Lord again. He said, Lord, I know you told me to go down to Keilah. I know you told me to go and smite the Philistines, but I'm just coming before you again. And the Lord answered him and didn't say, David, I've had enough of you. David, I can't believe how stubborn you are. David, I can't believe how unfaithful you are. David, I can't believe how you've misheard me. God said, yes, I told you to go, but he adds something to the answer. The Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Don't ever think that you can't come before the Lord in prayer. Even if you've prayed about something and he's already given you the answer. Because that's how gracious God is. So David in verse 5, and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. They won an overwhelming victory. They would never have experienced that victory if they stayed where they were. The easiest thing for David to do was to have stayed where he was, to not move, to not go down to Keilah, because if he went to Keilah, then he'd risk exposing his hand and Saul would find out where he was. The easiest thing to do was to be stay where he is. Sometimes as Christians, the easiest thing for us to do is just simply stay where we are. Not to step out in faith, not to do anything for the Lord, not to witness to anybody, not to read our Bible, not to just stay where we are. Come to church every now and again, get a tick in a box, you know, we'll do the one service, that'll be all right, and then I'll keep God happy. And that's it. That's not how it works. Because if you don't step out, you won't experience the victories. You won't experience what God has got in store for us. You won't experience those blessings. Fear could have stopped them in their tracks. And I'll tell you something now. Obedience to God is the absolute vital for a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. David had a dilemma, but God answered David's prayer. David was distressed. In verse 7, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he hath shut him in by entering into a town and hath gates and bars. David's dilemma was that he wanted to pursue the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, but in doing that, he risked the possibility of Saul finding out where he was. And it wasn't long before Saul knew exactly where David was, and King Saul would pursue him once again. It's as if David just couldn't escape. He couldn't get a break. Wherever he goes, it seems that Saul is not too far behind. David doesn't even have time to enjoy the victory. He's just smote the Philistines. He's just rescued the people of Keilah and the citizens of this city. But he doesn't even have time to enjoy the victory. They're not able to, you know, to have a ticker tape parade. They're not able to let off any fireworks. They're not able to raise any banners, because the minute that the victory is won, Saul is hot on David's heels. You notice how that's the case in the Christian life. You have one victory and you think, yes! Oh, wow, what a blessing! Oh, my days, I feel on top of the world. Wow, what a mountaintop experience! Oh, I got a victory over this area of my life. And the minute you say, oh, I got the victory, to doesn't even come out of your mouth, and the devil's right on your heels again, snapping away. Sometimes we don't even get to enjoy the victory. Sometimes you don't even get to bask in the glory of that victory before the enemy's back in pursuit. It's relentless. And it's tough. I'm sure as people sat listening to this thinking, why would anybody want to become a Christian if there's just one hot pursuit? Because not becoming a Christian, there's far greater consequences at the end of life. David just can't escape from this enemy. Look at the words used of Saul in verse 8. Saul called the people together to war. This is not somebody who's messing around. This is not somebody who's like, oh, I'll just rough him up a little bit, frighten him. He's called the people to war just to go after David. He wants to go down to Keilah to besiege David. That's not somebody who wants to, like, just smack him on the knuckles and say, oh, naughty boy. Called people to war. He's going to besiege David. In verse 9, it says that David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief. The Hebrew word for mischief there means evil, affliction, harm, distress, hurt, ill favor, misery, trouble, wretchedness, wrongdoing. Saul wanted David destroyed. Saul wanted to cause David as much mischief and affliction and harm as possible. Saul wanted David out of the picture. He wanted him gone. He wanted to destroy his life. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do to us. He doesn't want us to have a testimony. He doesn't want us to bring glory to God. He wants to destroy us. Why? Because we remind him of God. He hates God, therefore he hates us. You know, I keep going back. I'll never, ever, ever forget this conversation. The first time we started having blasts on a Friday night. And I know I've said this time and time and time and time again. And we were outside talking out there, and there was a group of kids running back and forth and shouting and swearing, and you know, the usual thing, trying get you to, you know, to shock you as if you've never heard any bad words before in your life. And I remember one of them turned around and said, "I love Satan." And I was about to say, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life." And before I could say anything, John was stood out there with me, and John went, "You might love Satan, but Satan hates you." "What do you mean?" "Well, you're made in God's image, whether you like it or not. And because of that, Satan hates you. But God loves you. And God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. That's how much God loves you. Satan hates us. Can't stand us. And he wants us destroyed. But guess what? It's not going to happen. Why? Because the victory's already won. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan can't get to us. And David, though, is in distress at this point. He can't escape Saul. And as a result, we as Christians can't seem to escape our enemy. We always seem to be pursued. The devil is always on our tail. We get one victory, and before we have the chance to even celebrate that victory, the devil is in hot pursuit yet again. And it's never ending. It's relentless. But we are to be sober and to be vigilant. We are to be on our guard. We are to be watchful every moment of every day, because the minute we let our guard down, the minute we take our eyes off the Lord, the minute we put our armor off, the minute we put our weapons to one side, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. He's always hot at our heels. He's always in pursuit. He's always on our tail, as it were. And sometimes we get so distressed. We can't seem to get any breathing space. We just can't seem to shake him. And there are many times when we feel distressed and battle-weary. And it just seems to be one thing after another, after another, after another, and the enemy is just relentless. And we feel weak, and we feel ill-prepared, and we feel out of shape, like we can't run away from this enemy any longer. And we feel like the fight is gone from us. John said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Even though our enemy is relentless, even though he's persistent, even though he's hot on our heels, the victory is already ours, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We belong to him. And the devil's not going to get us. God won't allow him to. In David's distress, he could have quite easily been confused. The Lord put him there, remember? David said, "Lord, do you want me to go down to Keilah?" "Yeah, go down and smite the Philistines." "Lord, are you sure you want me to go to Keilah?" "Yeah, go down and I will hand the Philistines into your hand. I'll give them to you. I'll give you the victory. Go to Keilah." Now David is in Keilah and Saul is after him. David could have said, "Whoa, Lord, what is going on? Why is this happening to me now? I've just got over one hurdle and now this has happened. I've just got a little bit of a victory and now this has happened. Oh, Lord, it's one thing after another, after another, after another. What is going on?" That would have been quite easy for David to have blamed God for the situation he found himself in. But look what David does in his distress. Now, when David had a dilemma, he sought the Lord. Now, David is distressed. Look what he does in verse 10. "Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, Thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. David calls on the Lord. 2 Samuel 22:7 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. You know, there are many times in our lives where we are distressed. Distressed beyond belief. We need to call on the Lord. To seek his face. To find the help that we need in such a difficult time in our lives. And in his prayer, he asks the question, Lord, will the men of Keilah give me up? Will they hand me over to Saul? Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. David had just enjoyed a great victory. And before he can enjoy the blessings of God, the enemy comes again. David could have said, nah, the men of Keilah, they won't hand me over to Saul. I've just fought the Philistines for them. I just battled the Philistines on their behalf. I just defeated the Philistines. I just stopped the Philistines from destroying their city. There's no way they'll give me up. Isn't it amazing how people will always let us down? You know, I've said before about the fact that I've been hurt far more by Christians than I've ever been hurt by people who are out in the world. That's a sad state of affairs. Because the world sees that. The world notices that type of behavior. And David must have thought, surely the men of Keilah won't give me up. Yes, they will. Yeah, we've seen that even now. We've seen that going on in the climate we live today. You know, just telling people, you know, during lockdown, you were encouraged to snitch on people if they were having parties next door. Phone his number, tell on them. Oh, they've got more than two people in the house. Even worse if you're a Christian, people can't wait to turn on you. That's just human nature. It's mind-boggling, though, how the enemy knows us well enough to know where it hurts the most. The enemy knows who to use to turn against us. David could have been destroyed by the fact that he helped this city. He helped the men of Keilah by defeating the Philistines, and yet they were prepared to hand him over to Saul, and that could have destroyed David. But the enemy knows what to use against us. David had a dilemma, but God answered his prayer. David was distressed, but God answered his prayer. And then finally we see David is delivered. In verse 13, David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Every time David faces a difficulty, he prays. He has a dilemma. He prays. He's distressed. He prays. He seeks God's face. He seeks God's guidance. He seeks God's direction. It didn't alter the fact that the enemy was still hot on his heels. It didn't alter the fact that the enemy was still in hot pursuit. It didn't alter the fact that the enemy was still pursuing David. But David sought the Lord. Don't give up when the enemy keeps chasing you down. Don't give in. If anything, seek the Lord even more. Seek the Lord harder. Cry before the throne of grace like you've never done before. Seeking God ought to be the priority of our lives. The enemy will never grow weary in pursuit of us. Now, we can't defeat him in our strength. But God. We can't defeat the enemy, but God can. Every day the enemy sought David, but God delivered him. Every day the enemy was in pursuit of David, but God delivered him. Every day the enemy was hot on David's tail, but God delivered him, not into the hands of the enemy. Every day the enemy, the devil, that old serpent, the dragon, that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, is hot on our tails, but God will deliver us. When you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter how hard he chases after us. There's nothing that he can do that will cause us not to have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day David was pursued. Every day was relentless. Every day, every day, every day. But God! Every day, the devil is just snapping at the back of our heels. But God promises a great victory. But God delivered David. He didn't deliver David into Saul's hand. God didn't allow the enemy to catch him. He could remain in hot pursuit as much as he wanted, but God would never allow the enemy to defeat him. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. We're pursued. Every day we're pursued, but God will not allow the enemy to overtake us. We're pursued, but God will not allow the enemy to catch up with us. We're pursued, but God will not allow the victory to flee from us. We are pursued, but God will give us the strength to keep going and keep going and keep going. God, we are pursued, but God will get the glory even from our pursuit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled, and that word troubled means pursued. We are pursued on every side, yet not distressed. That means we are not crushed. That means the enemy will never catch up with us and be able to destroy us. We are perplexed, sometimes at a loss, but not in despair, not hopeless. We are persecuted. That is, we are hunted every single day, but not forsaken. God will never desert us. We are cast down. That means smitten and sometimes beaten, but not destroyed. We will never perish because of what Christ did for us upon the cross. It doesn't matter how hot the pursuit is. It doesn't matter how relentless the pursuit is. It doesn't matter how fervent the devil chases after us. God will not allow him to have the victory in our lives. Why? Because the victory is already ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word has to have the foremost priority in our lives. And here's the thing. You keep your eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto that blessed hope and that glorious appeal of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've got our eyes fixed firmly upon our Savior, we're not wasting time looking back at where the enemy is. Because we know God's got it. We know God's in control. We know God's given us the victory. Make God's word a priority in your life. God is our hope. God is our strength. God is our deliverer. Maybe you are here tonight and you feel like, I just can't run anymore. I just feel like I've been in just one, like the longest chase in history. The devil is just relentless. The enemy is just pursuing me. All of these things are happening in my life, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and I've got this dilemma, and I've got this distress, and the enemy is just hounding me, and I just feel like such a failure, and I feel so weak, and I feel so alone, and I feel so afraid. But God. God has given us the victory. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You pursue tonight. Every single one who is a born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can say yes. There we are. Are you pursued? Absolutely. But God. Is that pursuit relentless? Yes, it is, but God is with us. Is that pursuit tough? Yes, it is, but God strengthens us. Does that pursuit feel closer sometimes than at other times? Yes, it does. But God gives us the victory. But God. Do you need a but God moment in your life today? Are you sick and tired of the devil gaining too much ground, snapping at your heels? And fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes upon him, because he has promised to give us the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, we pray whatever the need is here in the church today. For those listening online, Lord, we know that there are people who are struggling, there are people who are hurting, there are people who are feeling like they just can't run anymore, that they can't outrun the devil, as it were. But it's not for us to outrun anybody. It's simply for us to seek your face. Sometimes we feel like we don't have the strength to carry on, but it's not to be done in our strength, but in your strength. If we wait upon the Lord, then our strength is renewed. We mount up with wings as eagles. Then we can walk and not be weary. We can run and not faint. So, Father, would you give us the strength we need today? We recognize the difficulty we live in this day and age. We recognize the hardships that we are surrounded by. We also recognize the reality of the enemy that we battle every single day. Help us, Lord, to have a but God moment in our lives right now and realize that you won't allow us to be delivered into the enemy's hands. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, we have a guarantee that we have eternal life. From that moment we called upon the name of the Lord, and there's nothing the devil can do to alter that. There's nothing he can do to take us out of the grip of the Father's hand. There's nothing he can do. Father, sometimes we just need to be reminded that we're safe and secure in the Savior's arms. Would you help us to realize that tonight, even though we're being pursued relentlessly? But God, thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We pray you continue to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. personal Savior. If you were to die right now, where will you spend eternity? You will spend eternity in one of two places. If you know Christ as your Savior, then heaven is your home. But if you reject him, the Bible is clear that there's a place called hell, reserved for the devil and the angels that fell during the fall. But for those who reject Christ, that is where you will spend eternity. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you would just put your faith and trust in Christ, confess your sins, admit that you're a sinner, believe that Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for you, and call on his name, confess your sins and call on him as Lord and Savior, then the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have eternal life. Never fear in the eternity that's called hell. But that's a choice that only you can make. You can't get saved for you, and your loved ones can't get saved for you. Only you can make that decision. God wants you to be saved. So what's stopping you? What's stopping you making that decision right now? Only you know, and the Lord knows. Is it fear? Fear of what other people might say? Don't let the fear of others cause you to go to an eternal hell because of what somebody might call you, because of what you think you might have to give up. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ right now before it's too late. Because I can promise you this, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And Andrew, would you close us in a word of prayer? Thank you, Andrew.
Father, we praise you for the message that we've heard tonight. We thank you for thy word, our God. It's a faithful word, and it's worthy of all acceptation that everyone should come to know Christ as their Savior. We praise thee for all that you do for us, our God. We thank thee for the singing of the hymns and the worship of thyself, our God. And we pray that you will continue with us now as we go downstairs. We pray thy blessing upon everything that has been said and done. And we ask thee to be with us through another week. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.